So, you want to save the world with clean energy? Make money doing it? Confused about the economic and technical realities of residential and commercial solar, batteries, heat pumps, EVs? Want the real-world scoop on new energy technologies, not manufacturer hype? Then tune in to the Weekly Energy Show, hosted by Barry Cinnamon. Insights from Barry's 40-plus years in the solar and energy industry will help you understand the future ways we'll generate and consume energy. And now, here's Barry.
Welcome to this week's Energy Show. Now, what starts in California, a lot of times people talk about it, it spreads east to the rest of the United States. Earthquakes kind of first came to mind, although earthquakes don't spread, although we're seeing them sometimes in the Midwest from fossil fuel drilling. But there's been seismic metaphorical quakes in the solar and storage industry, starting in California due to the end of Net Energy Meeting, or NEM. And these solar earthquakes, industry earthquakes, are accentuated by higher interest rates that have made it much harder for people to afford financing solar. And then it's been twisted by shifting incentives all over the country. They're coming up, they're going down, utilities are getting more hostile. And these utility regulations are really slowing down and sometimes grinding to a halt distributed generation solar and storage. And, you know, we've talked about the reason for that. But on the other hand, you've got things like simplified new technologies related to UL 3741, which reduces the cost of installations, and you have much higher electric rates, which I kind of look at PG&E as my main marketing partner, because although they try and kill my business any chance they get, they're doing a great job by raising electric rates, which just improves the economics for solar and storage. And to cap it all off, they turn the power off so often that customers want backup power. So thank you, PG&E. But at the same time this is happening in the solar industry, we're seeing dramatic changes in the ways in which we heat buildings. We have huge changes in how we're powering vehicles. It's all electric. We're now generating, storing, and transmitting electricity to fuel our economy, kind of the way we used to, you know, deliver coal, then deliver oil in trucks and pipelines and deliver gas. And then all of these changes are magnified by political activities related to climate change. Don't even get me started on that. So with all these things happening at once, I thought it'd be a great time to reach out to my longtime friend, Scott Sullivan, a sales and marketing expert, and really can kind of give his perspective on the impact of these changes on both solar and storage customers, as well as the installation industry all over the country. So I've known Scott for over 20 years, going back to, I think, like 2002, when he helped me out at Aquina Solar. He's an inveterate networker. One of the things that amazed me the most, he probably has more LinkedIn contacts than Jigar Shah. And, you know, Jigar's a legend in the industry and over at the DOE loan office. And Scott's been helping both large and small solar companies around the country, so not just California, but around the country, grow. And now one of his roles is Chief Revenue Officer for Tree Public Solar. So finally, welcome to the show, Scott.
Thanks, Barry. It's great to see you again. It's great to catch up.
That's terrific. All right, so let's just start off kind of where we are, where you are right now at Tree Public Solar. Tell us a little bit about the company and what they do.
Well, Tree Public Solar is a 12-year-old solar installation company. And what I love, it's owned by a gentleman by the name of Omar Nasser. And Omar and I have a very similar alignment, with that thought being, take really, really good care of your customer and do the very best job that you possibly can and sell your goods and services at a very fair price. And you'll probably get a referral, or you'll probably get that customer to tell you about other people that want your services. So he and I are cut from the same cloth like that. I'm very proud to say that Omar has built a company that has 67 reviews, and every single one of them is a 5-star. I mean, it's just, I get more calls for people who say, this must be fake, right? Because nobody has a 5-star, you know, an exact 5.0-star review, but it is true. I mean, he's done a fantastic job. We also have, in our services side of the business, we have 99 reviews that are all but one 5-star, and we're at 4.97. So I'm very, very pleased to be at Tree Public. It's a fantastic company that's extremely well run, and they do a really good job. Now, here's the secret, I think. They do one thing really, really well, and they do it in a small contained area. Southern California only. We're not trying to be a you know, fill in name of giant solar company here, right? We're doing a really, really good job of residential and commercial projects. And we're not, I know this is going to shock you, we're not the cheapest. So we are a little bit of on the premium side, but the beautiful part about it is we will absolutely empathize with the customer and put ourselves in a place where the solar journey is very important. So that's important to Omar and it's important to me. I want to see these people in the grocery store and be able to say, hey, Scott, how you doing? Oh, man, it's fantastic. How's your solar system? Oh, it's wonderful. You know, that's where I want to be. I don't want to be the guy who's chasing or, you know, dodging phone calls and getting, you know, getting those people that are, you know, suing us and all the other things that sometimes happen in the industry. So I'm loving Tree Public, but yeah. Thanks for asking. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's almost identical to what we're doing. And regarding the reviews, having one bad review, so you have a 99.5% you know, positive five-star review, is really good because then people are going to know this isn't bogus. You know, one or two is okay. None is like, oh, something's fishy over there. Now, what you're talking about Tree Public doing and what we're doing at Cinnamon Energy Systems kind of goes back to what I coined as Cinnamon's Law back in, you know, like 15 years ago regarding the economic viability of solar installers around the country. And you know, I was the first one to expand nationally, had offices all over the country, East Coast, West Coast. And the bigger we got, the more money we lost. And we were public. We were reporting. And every quarter we would take out the revenue went up, but their losses went up even more because it's just really freaking complicated. And at the end of the day, the conclusion I came to when I sold the company is it's not sustainable. The bigger you get in multiple locations, the more money you lose, unless you can find a really good way of making money other ways. And to date, the only exception that I've seen out there that's really done it on a sustainable long-term basis is Sunrun. So they make their money on financing. They do a decent job most of the times on installations. They probably don't have a 4.97 review rate, probably a little bit lower because they're just doing so much more and they sub it out. But it's the local companies. You look at a lot of the CALSA members that have been in business for, heck, you know, Ed Murray's been in business for over 40 years. That's all he's always been doing, and he has a reputation. You can maybe grow at 20 or 30% a year. You're not going to grow at 100% a year because you don't have outside marketing funding, but you grow based on referrals and staying in that one general territory, and maybe you can expand it a little bit, but kind of as soon as you start skipping over states and you got to fly to the next office, that makes it really, really tough to do. So it's really hats off to the Tree Public Solar, and you know that's the business model that I like, and I like to say that that's where solar people who are looking for a solar storage system, they should look at companies that do that because they're the ones that are going to be around to service your system. And the lowest price one, coming back to lowest price, you can get the lowest price, but you're not going to get the service. And the mid-price guys or the higher-price guys selling the quality product, they made enough money on your job. You may not have liked it, but they made enough money on your job to be around to fix it in case anything ever happens. And that's just so important.
Amen. I agree with you 100%. And I still have to tell you, I agree with the Cinnamon Law. You spend that money locally. If you know, if you're spending your money locally with that guy that you know, or that company or that person that you know what? There's something to be said about it. I can drive over to the office, I can knock on the door and I can say, what? What's going on? You know, there's something about that. You can't do that at Amazon, you know, but you can do it at Cinnamon and you can do it at Tree Public.
And we focus on quality. And so, you know, the people that coming to the door, we have seminars every month, but the people coming to the door, they just kind of walk in. It's like, they're not calling to scream and yell because something's not working. Because sometimes there's issues and we always, always fix it. Even if it wasn't our fault, it's our customer. It's expensive, painful, but it works.
I have a quick story I'll tell you that happened today. One of our installers, I have no idea what happened, but we had a small, very small oil leak and he was parked in the customer's driveway. And when he backed out, it was there. Customer called me. We sent a guy. We pressure washed it. We cleaned it up. And the guy called me back and he says, I never dreamt in a million years that I was going to get a solar system and that I was going to get you back on the phone to come and fix a problem as small as a, you know, two quarter size oil drops.
Yeah.
But that's what it takes, you know, and that's what it takes.
And those happy customers or the possibly disappointed, but then now happy customers, they really tell a lot more people, which is terrific. Right.
So that's another reason why we're switching our entire fleet to electric.
I'd love to see how you're doing that. We've been kind of looking around for electric utility body and electric vans. And
we're doing it. Yeah. We had three trucks this week. We went with the new Ford high bay, but it only gets 110 miles on the charge. And it's in LA, that's hard. That's a hard row. So we looked at the Riven at 175, but it's just, it's tough right now. We own one Cybertruck and four Teslas, and I drive a little Fiat. It's 90 miles to the charge.
Yeah, we've got several company vehicles, a Mustang, a Mach-E, a couple of Teslas. We have a Ford Lightning pickup that we use for all of our commercial projects, and that's good. But I've been looking at the high bay utility vans like the Transit, and I'm just waiting till they're a little bit
I need 175. Yeah. I need 175 is all I need. Just please, if you're listening right now, Ford or Chevy or whoever, Nissan, get me 175 and I'll buy a bunch of them.
And it's different for us also. We have utility body pickups for our roof crews because there's ladders and we got to load stuff in. But the electricians and the battery installers all have the vans. And, you know, stick a battery in the back, it works out. All right. Well, let's start talking a little bit about what's happening in the solar industry, growth, things like that. You know, you're down in LA, so you're feeling part of the pain about the change in the incentives, the change in net metering, and I'm not sure how the electric rates are doing there, but they're probably going up a lot too. And so what's happening with the solar industry? Is it growing or shrinking in California? And then we can kind of talk nationally.
Well, I would say in California, all of my clients, everybody I've talked to, all my network, everybody that I've been networking with, California in April, a year ago, when the NEM 2 switched to NEM 3, we basically just robbed Peter to pay Paul. We pushed everything into January, February, March, and April of last year. And we lived off of that for quite a few months. And now that backlog is gone. And the NEM 3 has cost us, you know, a lot of projects to dry up. It's not that they don't make economic sense. They're just harder to explain. So I'm not trying to say, so the answer to your first question is, I think California is shrinking this year. I think the market has taken a huge punch to the face, but I don't think that it's dead. I think what's happened is we just got a little bit of a punch and now we're going to have to regroup and we're going to put a little ice on our black eye. But it takes, I think, the day of the lay down, you know, knock on the door. Hey, don't worry. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm just here to, you know, see if your home qualifies for the solar rebates, right? I think those days are over now. And what we're trying to do now is we need real professional sales professionals that are going to help a homeowner understand the need for solar and storage in order to qualify, to make sure that they can take every bit of advantage that they can get from not only the rebates, but from the availability of what we can get from the new utility rates, right? Because the NEM 2 moving to NEM 3 just punched us really hard. So I think the dollar volume of the project is going up. And I think that the complexity of the project is going up. And I think that we're probably selling a significantly fewer projects, but because the dollar volume is so much larger, I think we're going to see not a wash, but I'm hoping that it's not down as much as some of the naysayers are saying. I know that's not a real good answer to your question, but it's the best I can do.
No, it's true. And I think a lot of companies, basically, it's really important to be able to sell batteries and not just install them, but know how to pitch the sale. So the companies that have been doing that for a while, it's faster for them to make the transition. The companies that just always sold solar because the economics were, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, now they've got to learn how to sell the batteries with that. The economics are still pretty good, but it's a lot more complicated to sell. It takes time to learn how to sell that. It's probably, I mean, it took us about a year when we started working with batteries to kind of figure out how to get a reasonable close rate. And now that's happening. So that's working out. And at the same time, we as an industry are gradually repositioning to sell under the net metering 3, which is terrible. The utilities, my friends, my marketing partners in PG&E and Southern California Edison and San Diego Gas and Electric, they're raising rates like crazy. And so that is just consistently improving.
They're racking up billions in profit.
Yes. Yes. Billions with a capital B. $2.3 billion record profits for PG&E. And there was a posting, I think Jeff Spees did this from on LinkedIn today. And there was a quote from one of the PG&E executives saying, there's no direct linkage between the higher electric rates and our profits. And I'm like, well, yeah, but there's a tremendously accurate indirect linkage because you increased your investments and that gives you the right to make a bigger profit and you're killing it. And I tell my friends in the finance industry, you know, are utilities a good investment right now? And I'd say the investor-owned utilities are sitting pretty because they've really mastered the ability to convince the governments through huge financial contributions to support their way of building infrastructure, long-distance transmission lines, huge investments in solar and storage far, far away, and suppress what's cheaper, faster, safer for everybody, which is the rooftop solar. So that's just what we've got to overcome. And, you know, I know Bernadette and the team at CALSA is working really hard in California, and there'll be a lot of good laws, but it's going to take a couple of years before it kind of gets back. And in the meantime, rates are going to be 40% higher than they were when NEM3 started in 2023. It's amazing.
So, but I also want to address, Barry, I also want to address the fact is that our customer has changed. When you and I, just during NEM2 and especially during NEM1, our customers were the late 20s, I would say 30. So 30-year-old to 50-year-old, brand new homeowner with two kids, two incomes, mortgaged out the wazoo, and they were able to finance the solar, reduce their energy bill, have a long-term investment as a adding value to their home, and they're probably already, you know, leveraged on the mortgage, right? And it was all good because interest rates were low. Prices were at an all-time low of solar. It had been historically never been that inexpensive to put solar on your house. And the processing of the finance was easy. I mean, give me your last four digits. I'll do a soft pull. We'll know whether you qualify. 5 minutes later, we're done. You sign the paperwork. 3 weeks later, I've got the solar installed. It's connected and we're done, right? That's all changed. Now my avatar looks like you and I. They're 50 plus. They are very far into their 30-year fix. They don't know what an ARM is because they're not doing an adjustable rate mortgage. So they're deep into a 30-year fixed. They've got a HELOC with a couple of $100,000 in it. They're investing in their home because now it's the right thing to do. And they're a cash customer and nobody's buying finance because it's 35 or 40 points on the dealer fee. And, you know, and I'm only getting 30% of ITC. So I think that we need to talk about that a little bit too, I think.
Yeah, no, that's a huge factor. And it's kind of funny because I think back since, you know, 2001, my observation of our typical customer at that time, he was 50 to 65 year old engineer with a beard, wearing sandals, and meeting me with shorts. And they were all like that. And, you know, now it's evolved. It's, you know, different. But still, at least in our area, the people that are buying are mostly buying with cash, which is just, you know, an inherent advantage that we have because we're a fairly high income area. And, you know, they have the disposable income, or, you know, they don't have a huge mortgage payment. The kids are mostly out and it's working out okay. So, but the financing is tough. And one of the reasons why we haven't been able to sell financing, we kind of offer every once in a while, is we're very upfront. And we would say, this is the cash price and this is the finance price. And then when the customer would say, well, what's the finance price based on? And then, you know, boom, you have to say it's like 35% higher because of this platform fee. And then that immediately kind of sours the deal. So the ones that do the best on financing are, they're in jurisdictions where financing always makes sense, and they lead with financing and they sell with finance. Really hard to do both.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you too, what we're finding is because we're in a very dense market in Southern California, obviously, LA County, Bel Air, the Valley, all the way out to the Imperial Irrigation District, all that area, we're in a very dense area. So we're also finding, because we do both commercial and residential, we're finding a lot of business owners that are trying to get solar for their business. And while we're having that conversation, they go, oh, man, this makes so much sense. Let's go put this on my house, yeah, right? Yeah. So we're getting that twofer. For us, that's, I mean, we're blessed. I haven't had to lay anybody off. We're business is up. We're up about 15% over last year, year over year. Things are going to go well. But again, we're in a very, very different niche. If you talk to some of the guys that you and I know, and we talk to all the time, they just laid off three crews and they only have half the salespeople they have. And, you know, and they're struggling right now. Right. Yeah. And, you know, we're just blessed. We're just blessed. But I think the blessing comes because of the preparation. I think you and I have the same mindset. We've been building companies that were stressing the quality and the not the cheapest and not chasing down to the bottom, you know, long before it became in vogue.
And that's just how we are able to support the customers and stay in business and sell quality equipment. And, you know, if it leaks, we'll be there. I would say 80% of the times that a customer calls up, maybe 90, they call up with a leak on the roof. We go there because we were the last ones on the roof. It ain't from us. It just wasn't from us, but we kind of take care of it. And, you know, sometimes
last one on the roof owns it.
Yep.
That's what we say. We have a big sign of the warehouse that says last one on the roof owns it. We had a customer. That's funny you should say. I'll just tell you one more quick story. We had a customer yesterday that held back his last payment. He is a cash customer, made all of his milestone payments, kept his 10% construction fee held back, and wouldn't send us his check because we broke four tiles. And we said, no, I'm sorry. I mean, we'll gladly come out and take a look at it, but I have no idea how we did that, because if we broke a tile, we'd do a final inspection. We take pictures, everything else. It's on two roof planes over. It wasn't even where we didn't have a ladder leaning against that part of the house, and yet, but we fixed them.
Yeah.
And you know why? Yeah. Because we already had his tiles. We already had, and we left him 10 more and just went back to work.
Yeah. We usually have drone pictures, so I just want to know whether we did or not, but, you know, we kind of take care of it.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Your last one on the roof, you own it.
Well, let's talk about customers and how are their motivations changing? You know, it used to be the engineers with the shorts and the sandals and the beards wanted, you know, were concerned about climate change and cool technology. And then it evolved towards saving money. How is that balance right now nationwide? You know, maybe drill down into your area in California also.
Well, nationwide, I will tell you is that electricity rates across the country are rising, right? There are pockets of Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, that are still at 11 and a half, 12, 13 cents a kWh, which is like people in California have no clue what that difference. That's the difference of spending $5 or $6 a gallon for gasoline. And when I was in Nashville last week, it was $1.99, right?
Yeah.
A gallon. Yeah. So it's like, that's the difference, right? It's like living in a house in California and having a $600 electric bill, living in Tennessee at Tennessee Valley Authority and having exactly the same house and having a $200 electric bill, right? That's the delta that we're talking about. It's three or four times cheaper, but it has gone up. So now what we're seeing is we're seeing a little bit nationwide. Now, California has always been a very expensive. I mean, San Diego has the honor of being the most expensive power in the contiguous United States now. And, you know, so you look at that and you go, okay, they've always had a incentive to find out a way to do distributed generation. The guy out in the middle of the country in the flyover states did not have that incentive because he had a very small electric bill. Well, now, if you put it into perspective, just, and again, I'm just telling you the way it is. If you look at the, you know, annual income of the guy in Southern California that's paying $600 versus the annual income of the guy who's paying $200, it's still relative, right? If you're making $40,000 a year and you're living in a house that's half the price and you have a $200 electric bill, that's a lot, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
So now that's getting attention. Those electric bills are coming up, and at the time they're getting to $200 or $300, that's when all of a sudden you're getting that call. Wow, this is crazy. And another place I'm going to tell you is in the tornado belt, we're seeing a lot of people not putting in a 22 kW Generac or not putting in a 25 kW Kohler and putting in a battery backup system, whether it's a Tesla Powerwall or it's a stack of batteries in their garage, or even sometimes it's a portable system like a Goal Zero or a Bulleti or one of those guys, right? So that we're seeing a ton of. That's where we're getting a lot of leads for customers in that part of the world, because they're looking at, you know, security, right? I don't want to say prepping because I don't want to go there, but, you know, but they are looking at security. And we're seeing more and more, the utility is turning off the power more and more and more. The number of nines of the utility rate is going down, right? You're not seeing, you know, it used to be 1 or 2, 3 minutes a year. Now it's 1 or 2 or 3 hours a year.
Yeah. It's amazing. PG&E turns the power off so much, and especially in the hilly areas that, you know, we did an installation for a customer last summer, and it was, you know, one of these big houses, and he had 1 or 2 a year, and now he's having like 5 or 6 a year. He had a 4th of July party a housewarming party for all his friends and the whole thing, and the power went out then. And he was so happy because the music only blipped and the cooler was going and the lights were on and, you know, yeah, the pool pumps weren't running, but that was okay. So it's interesting. All right, let's talk a little bit about kind of what's happening with the solar equipment. And this is of interest, obviously, to customers because they want a lower price, but it's also challenging for the installation business. When prices go down, it's a really good thing, but it has implications. So solar panel prices plunging fast, inverter and battery prices are coming down. That's a good thing. But what it does is it reduces the company's margins, which means you get less profit on that job. And the less profit for companies that are planning on staying in business for 25 years is a bad thing. So how should companies adjust when they're seeing lower profits per job? What should they do? Can they make it up in volume, or do they have to change some of their operations?
I think we have to start looking at ancillary services. And I am 100% bullish. You and I know that. 25 years I've been doing solar. But I think we need to start thinking about those ancillary services, energy efficiency in conjunction with alternative heating, you know, methods, heating water, domestic hot water usage. There are a lot of other things that we can do with renewable energy that can give us that second or third or fourth revenue stream. It's sort of like the guy who sells you your HVAC system, but then sells you an annual contract where I'll come out and change the filters and clean it and do all that other stuff and clean your ductwork and all that. So it has a kind of a similar vibe. So you take care of the client, you give him good quality equipment at a good price. Unfortunately, labor's not going down, right? So my margins are getting squeezed even more because labor's going up, costs are going down. You're making almost no money on the equipment and you're getting squeezed on the labor. So you have to figure out a way that we can, you know, augment that a little bit. So one of the things that we're doing, obviously, we're working heavy in referrals, but we're also partnering with people. So for instance, we have an energy efficiency program where you can do LED light bulbs that have batteries built in so that they look like a normal light bulb. You put them in your lamp, the power goes off. I don't have to wire that circuit onto your battery. It'll still work because you turn on the lamp and it comes on, right? It's just like, whoa, magic.
That's cool.
And then you teach your salespeople how to sell that. You walk over and put the lamp, the bulb in the lamp, you unplug it, you turn it on, it comes on. And they'll go, what? So, and then those you can make a little bit more margin, and then they tell their friends, and then you do they have Bluetooth. Everything is now Internet of Things, and AI is changing the world. So I think the services and the ancillary products that we're going to sell in conjunction, I think using the power differently is where we're going to win. And if you do a really good job, you're going to own the homeowner, and you're just going to be like McDonald's. You'll be able to pour products on top of them.
We're taking a very similar approach. It's diversifying into adjacent contracting areas. Yeah. So, you know, we started with doing EV chargers. We have crews that are expert at doing panel upgrades. It's expensive stuff. And then we've started to branch out into installing heat pumps, HVAC. Yep. We don't do gas furnaces. We don't put in regular air conditioners, but we do heat pumps. Nope. And we're partnering with companies to help with that. And we do heat pump water heaters, and haven't got to the point where we're putting in electric cooktops. That's pretty easy, but that helps. And then the place where it really helps us from an economic financial standpoint is it reduces the customer acquisition costs for one of those. And so the guy for whom we do a great heat pump job for, he'll call us when he wants a battery. Or he may realize, oh, I got the heat pump and now there's a blackout and now I have no heat at all, so I better get a battery. So there's a lot of synergy there. Yes, it's tough to do, but you know, with the right team, you can manage it. And then kind of coming back is that we have to constantly improve our operating efficiency from, you know, when I first, my first battery system, and it probably took us the better part of a week. And then we were able to do them. Well, first battery system, we had to figure everything out. And then, how to do it in 3 days and then 2 days. But now with the simplified batteries out there, we can do two in 1 day with the same crew if we have all the logistics set up. And then, yes, the price point is lower. The profit contribution per job is lower. With the same crew, can do a little bit more work. And then, you know, that's how you survive. And it takes a lot of organization and discipline to do that.
It does. And we can do 2 5-P's in a day too, just like you. I mean, we're doing the, you know, and it's tough. And it's tough to learn that. And the other thing too, that you asked about equipment specifically, I think And I'm hoping I'm wrong. I don't want to cast a, you know, a shadow over anything. But to get the efficiencies you and I are talking about, you have to standardize. You know, every project uses the same equipment. I know what my inverter looks like. I know what my panel looks like. I know what my racking looks like. I know what bolts I need. Mm-hmm. I'm not like running to Home Depot every 5 minutes because I don't have a screw, right? That operational efficiency that you're talking about comes from standardization. And I had a guy come in the other day and say, you know, look at this great racking. I'll give it to you for like half the price. You know, the problem is it would cost me more to retrain, and the number of leaks that would happen during the training and all the other parts and pieces, you could give it to me for free and I still wouldn't do it. So getting that standardization and getting that equipment. But now where we will be forced to change is when a piece of equipment is no longer applicable because they didn't spend the money on R&D or whatever, and somebody leapfrogs them and we're forced as an industry to change. But I think you're right on operational efficiency, you know, multiple lines of revenue. We're selling a lot of water batteries. I don't know if you're doing water batteries, but any excess power, we're putting in PCSs, you know, control centers. Mm-hmm. Homes didn't used to have those, Barry. I mean, barely had a fuse box.
Yeah.
And now we got a PCS that runs their battery and runs their solar and runs their hot water heater and runs their internet. And, you know, so it's all connected inside the house and we've become the expert on that. So the nice thing about it is the customer calls up and he says, we actually have a partner that we're working with that when they call, they need a hot water heater because it's gone bad, or they need to have one replaced, the first thing they say is, have you called Tree Public? Because they sell a hot water heater that runs off of your solar that's on your roof. What? You know?
Yeah, it really, really changes a lot. And I think it's changing for the good. You're getting, you know, better, more reliable, you know, more cost-effective systems. Scott and I had so much to discuss that we divided our conversation into two Energy Show episodes. Please tune into segment two of our Energy Show with Scott Sullivan as we discuss suggestions for selecting a solar and storage company, as well as advice for solar companies as they navigate the changing energy industry landscape. Thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. If you missed any of today's show, you can always go to the Energy Show website at energyshow.biz and listen to the podcasts.